What if you could learn more about your health in under an hour? The Pronuvo Whole Body Scan gives you a comprehensive look at your health, screening for over 500 conditions, including many solid tumors as early as stage one. High-quality imaging, no radiation, no contrast. Book your scan today at Pronuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com. Gain clarity, confidence, and peace of mind with Pronuvo. Invest in your health today. Visit Prenuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com.
How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step one, go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com. Got it.
Step two, collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa, welcome bonus.
Step three, play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games, all for free.
Step four, unleash your excitement.
Woohoo! Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.
Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
If you're a podcast host, listen up. This one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.
You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable. This episode of the Sportsman's Empire is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. Since 1952, Interstate Batteries has been evoking compassion and a trustworthy spirit into the surrounding communities. Interstate Batteries is a mission-driven company fueled by purpose and guided by their values. If you need help locating a specific battery, stop into your local Interstate Batteries retail store and speak with a battery specialist. They even offer cell phone repairs. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable. Mic check, 1, 2. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of the Hunting Gear Podcast. I'm your host, Dan Johnson. And today we're going to be talking with the host of the Antler Up Podcast, Jeremy Dinsmore. And we're going to do a good old-fashioned hunting gear BS session. Now, in this episode, we talk about things like tuning our bows and arrows, arrow weights. We talk about cam timing a little bit. None of this is really high, like lots of detail, but we talk about what we've noticed in cam timing, arrow tuning, making sure that you have the right poundage, the right draw length, whether or not your rest is centered, and fletchings and arrows and broadheads. It's just a really good overall BS session about how we do what we do. Next on the list, we talk about cell cams in this episode, trail cameras, how we use them, how many we have. We talk a couple that are brand specific per se. Nothing, again, too crazy details, but it's just two dudes who love to bow hunt talking about the gear that they use. And that, my friends, is what today's episode is all about. Hopefully you guys enjoy it. Now, before we get into today's episode, I do have to do a commercial here, a couple commercials here, and we have a brand new company that we're going to be working with, and I talk a little bit about them today with Reveal Trail Cameras by Tacticam, and they are a brand new they're brand new to the show as far as a partner is concerned. These guys have been around for quite a while, actually, and I'll be honest, I'm just being completely honest here. I don't have a ton of knowledge about the product. I sold an advertising space to them. They picked it up, and I am interested in learning more about their products. They sent me a box of cameras. I need to get them set up and set out. But unfortunately, I am really, really busy right now. So as I start to learn about them, as I start to get pictures, you know, I'm going to start talking about ease of use. I'm going to start talking about things like trigger speed. You know, if they're very sensitive to triggers like blowing grass, things like this. Everything that you want to know about a trail camera, I'm going to be here sharing that information with you. But the best thing to do at this point is to go to their website, Reveal by Tacticam, and check out the Reveal trail camera. And they got some new stuff coming out, I believe, in July. So stay tuned for that. Again, I'll talk more about that. Next on the list is Code Blue Sense. I am a huge fan of Mock Scrapes, and they sell a Mock Scrape kit called the Rope-A-Dope system. So do me a favor, go check out the Mock Scrape kit that that Code Blue has. Dude, I'm telling you, you pair it with a trail camera, and you're going to see deer in the wood. You want to take inventory, and maybe you in a state where you can't use things like mineral or scent, or not scents, but mineral or feed deer. This is another amazing way to get deer in front of a trail camera. And so that, along with real and synthetic deer urines, they have scent elimination products like soaps, laundry detergents, sprays, all the good stuff that every hunter needs in their toolkit. Go check out codebluescents.com. I do have a discount code, NFC20. Next on the list is a product called the Feed Hub. Now, the Feed Hub is by Moultrie Mobile. Okay, it's a Moultrie Mobile company or a product. And what it does is it is a device that connects to any SpinCast feeder. It allows you to monitor your feed in your feeder. It allows you to schedule feeding times, unclog, like run an unclog cycle on the feeder itself to get maybe there's a clog out. It allows you to schedule or have feeding times on demand. So all the controls that you need at the tips of your finger for your feeder, that's very important in states where baiting is legal. And the only other thing to say about the Feed Hub is that I think it's going to make you more efficient with your time, meaning there's no guessing anymore when the feed is going to run out or whatever the pellets or the corn or whatever you're distributing through that feeder. Now you know, and now you can say, okay, by this time next week, it's going to be gone. So between now and then, I need to run out, fill it up, and we're good to go. So you can find out more information about the Feed Hub at Moultrie Mobile. So we've talked about Reveal, we've talked about Feed Hub, we've talked about Code Blue. Please do me a favor, go check out all of those brands and those products on their websites. And if you do decide to purchase, let them know I sent you. Other than that, thank you very much for listening. Go to iTunes, leave a 5-star review, all that good stuff. Let's get into today's BS session with Jeremy Dinsmore. All right, everybody, welcome back to the Hunting Gear Podcast. I'm your host, Dan Johnson, and today we are joined by host of the Antler Up Podcast, Jeremy Dinsmore. Jeremy, my man.
What's going on, Dan?
How's the east side of the United States treating you?
Pretty cool, actually. Not too bad. We haven't had a huge, big heat wave just yet, so it's nice. You could get out scouting in the morning in a 50-degree weather, and you're not getting swarmed by mosquitoes and everything along those lines. So it's so far so good.
Good deal. That's awesome, man. Where are you sitting right now as far as being prepared for the upcoming season? What percent? We're looking at like a 50? We higher? We lower? Where are we at?
I honestly, I would probably say 60%. There's a couple more things that I need to do. And the reason why I'm that much lower, it would be higher if I was focusing on just the state of Pennsylvania. But me and three of my best friends, we got a piece of property for the first time up in the state of New York. So I need to get out there and also get out to the spot where I hunt in Ohio to get out some more cameras there. Just, again, neither place so far I've stepped foot on to put any cameras for the postseason, just because of having a baby right at New Year's Eve. So it's my spring kind of focused on that family as well as the state of Pennsylvania. So PA I feel pretty good on. It's the out of state stuff that I would like to spend a weekend trip with some friends and family to kind of kill two birds with one stone. So that's why I would say I'm a little bit lower than I would like to be at this point, Dan.
Hey, I feel you. It's crazy right now, man. I have never been less prepared for a season than I am right now. It is like I'm behind. No, I might only have two trail cameras out right now, and that's because I didn't get them out of the woods from last season. And they're so I know the batteries are dead on them. Yep. I have no cell cams out. I haven't freshened any mineral sites. Like I haven't, to be honest with you, because of my shoulder, I haven't shot my bow. The last time I pulled my bow back was last month. I did it one time just to see what it felt like, and I didn't shoot. Mm-hmm. So, man, I need to get my ass in gear, basically.
Yeah. Well, hey, here's the other thing, though. You look at that, and probably it might be driving you crazy that you don't feel that like you're that prepared, but man, I'm sure you're going into spots that you've hunted for a very long time. You feel comfortable. It's just kind of micro adjusting and learning what the woods are telling you when that time comes for you. And I've no doubt you'll be fine. And that's what I even told myself, because I was in the same boat here in PA, just because with the baby and everything like that, back at home in that Northeast property that I like to hunt with my father, there are some cameras that I still need to move and go recoup. But again, I'm not too worried about it. I've been in there. It's just fine tune those spots as we get closer to the season and know kind of how things are going. You know, a lot of it too dictates on the food. You know, what kind of acorn drop are we going to have? So, you know, we could prepare a lot for now, but a lot of it is from my preparation from years past is going to help me this year more so than what right now is doing, basically.
Yeah. Out of curiosity, throughout the course of an entire year, how many trail cameras do you have going at one time?
Not that many, man. I would say, and I say not that many, I would say maybe 10 to 15.
Okay.
I would say now you incorporate probably with my dad. Now we're up to 20 for sure. Mm-hmm. But for me solo, locally, I'll do about 7, and then I'll do about 7 probably-ish from to back at home in Northeast PA. So that will give me to that, like, anywhere from 15, I would say, is probably my max of what I own. Because, man, it seems like I can never have any luck with any of them. My Exodus trail cameras are the only ones that have always kind of been my bulletproof that have lasted longer than 3 seasons. Other than that, mm-hmm. I'm lucky if I get 2 seasons out of majority. And honestly, it doesn't matter what brand it is.
Yeah, that's the truth. Check this out. I got to give props where props are due. We do have a new partner on the Nine Finger Chronicles and the Hunting Gear podcast, and that is Reveal Cell Cams. Now, I'm not nice. Real familiar with them. Mm-hmm. I'm going to get familiar with them here pretty soon. But, man, I got a Moultrie Mobile trail camera that I put out in, I want to say, September, mm-hmm. this past year, September. It's a cell cam, and I went... And it is still sending me pictures.
Wow.
On one set of batteries. That's it. I haven't gone in there and checked it. It's pretty impressive. It's pretty impressive. Now, it is not in a high traffic area. It's not in an area where wind is going to be triggering it. It's in kind of like a wooded area. Wind doesn't get to it. There's some big, it's a big oak stand with a little walking path in front of it. Mm-hmm. And that's the setup, but, so it's not taking a ton of pictures like it would be over a scrape over a pinch point or mineral crossing. I basically had it. So I was like, I might as well put this out, put it out. And of course, it's working great. And it's pretty impressed. I'm pretty impressed when something like that can work for that long on a single set of lithium batteries.
Yeah, dude, that's great. I mean, probably my number two most camera that's kind of had the longevity has been the Reveal, actually. And I've always kind of had that opposite effect of what you had with the Moultries. It's just a matter of, did you get a bad batch or whatever? For some people, I've heard great stories of Moultrie and heard bad stories about the Reveals. And it's like, man, my experience is the opposite of what you had. And I just think it's, hopefully you get a good one and fingers crossed it lasts for a good bit for you. And that's kind of where it's at. I think they're all kind of, it's like bows anymore. Everybody makes a really good bow. It's just a matter of what works for you basically.
Right. Right. I will say this, man, I don't even remember when I got my first lifts from Exodus.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, they have that 5-year warranty, man. I bet you I've had one of their first batch of trail cameras now for seven-ish years.
Still working.
And I am just now cycling through the end of the first batch that I got.
Yeah.
They've lasted that long. And that's pretty impressive. Mm-hmm. When a brand like that can last for 7 years. And, you know, I believe they have that 5-year warranty that they do. Mm-hmm. And so that's pretty sweet, but, I'm just now in a phase where I think last year was the max amount of trail cameras out and running at a single time that I've ever used. And then every year, you know, some fade away, some get like last year, someone ripped the cover off of the front of my trail camera. Like it was hit by a baseball bat or something. I don't know what it was, but they ripped it off. It still worked. So what I did was I left the SD card in it and turned it on, put another SD card in it and turned it on and covered it up to make it look like it was still broken with the hopes that I could get somebody to walk in front of it again because they didn't steal it. They just smashed it and left and then took the SD card. So I don't know. It's still out there. I got to go. Jeez. It's probably stolen by now. But the theft on my trail cameras has slowed down dramatically since 5 years ago when it was
at a peak.
It was I couldn't even keep one in the timber. I felt.
Yeah. That's so frustrating. I've had probably one every year that always gets sticky fingered for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, man. When it comes to trail cameras on public, are you doing anything special to prevent them from being seen or being stolen?
The one thing that I do try to do, especially if I'm left with a decent camera, like I try to save those Exodus cameras, a Reveal camera for more of the private land that I'll hunt back at home in Northeast PA. But, you know, what I've done is I've swapped out that strap and I've run just like kind of your basic little paracord. I've done that. And I have ran them up higher as well. The cameras up higher and then just have that nice angle down. And that's why I always carry a stick with me when I go out scouting because of that issue. I mean, for the most part, that's helped out a lot. To be quite honest, I think the majority of the ones that I've, have had stolen or broken is because it is at that eye level and it does stick out a little bit easier compared to that. Like all the ones I've hung up high are the ones that are usually I'll return back to, and 99% of the time I've been able to retrieve those.
USAA knows dynamic duos can save the day, like superheroes and sidekicks, or auto and home insurance. With USAA, you can bundle your auto and home and save up to 10%. Tap the banner to learn more and get a quote at usaa.com/bundle. Restrictions apply.
The world moves fast. Your workday, even faster. Pitching products, drafting reports, analyzing data. Microsoft 365 Copilot is your AI assistant for work. Built into Word, Excel, PowerPoint, and other Microsoft 365 apps you use, helping you quickly write, analyze, create, and summarize. So you can cut through clutter and clear a path to your best work. Learn more at Microsoft.com/M365 Copilot.
Yeah. Well, that's awesome, man. I need to start doing some of that. Like even on the public or the private ground that I have, I need to just get it, even if it's just like 6 feet, 7 feet angled down, as far as my hands right. can go, I think that's going to save me a lot of trouble because people aren't walking around, unless you're a serious bow hunter, people aren't walking around looking up in trees.
Right.
Especially when they're trespassing. They're probably just looking for trail cameras along the way. Now, okay. Let's see here. I want to talk a little bit about archery, and bow hunting specifically, tuning your bows. Mm-hmm. What kind of extra steps do you go through, whether that's when you initially set up your bow or every year, to ensure that your bow is tuned properly?
I would say for me, Dan, the thing that I'm doing most of the time is because I like to shoot every day. And that's getting a new set of strings on every year. So when that time comes and I do get that set of strings put on, obviously with the new strings, I might have a new arrow set up. I might have a new broadhead set up, just anything along those lines that I'm taking those extra little minor details to make sure that it's good to go. And to be quite honest with you, I'll even go a little bit more in detailed with my 3D slash competition bow than I will with my hunting bow, just in the side of things, because as long as my broadheads are flying true, I'm good to go. That's where I'm at with the hunting setup. And this year, my goal is to run a more simpler setup as far as like a rest, stabilizer, all that type of stuff. With that goes, but my number one thing is I always like to have a new set of strings put on, just because again, I shoot every single day, even if it's just three arrows. It could be a three arrow session where it takes me 5 minutes, or it could be I'm out there for an hour and a half working on things, doing different angles. Maybe I'm up in the saddle like 6 feet, getting practice shots doing that. But as that time gets closer, the tuning aspect of things, it's just mainly new set of strings and obviously making sure that whatever broadhead and the arrow setup I'm using is exactly flying how I would like it to fly.
Yeah. Let me ask you a question. I know that you do some competitive archery shoots and even some like for fun archery shoots. Why are you using two different bows, one for bow hunting, one for competitive?
So for me this year it was my first year where I really dove down into that competition archery thing. And honestly, for me, it was I'm pulling lighter weight for the 3D competition stuff just because I'm shooting a lot more arrows. And I'm still, so that's at a 63 pound. I backed it out just a little bit from a 65 pound max limbs on that one. But my hunting setup is a 70 pound limb. And it's just, again, this is my first year doing that. And so it's just like kind of separate things where this is my target bow and this is going to be my hunting bow. And that's how it's going to be set up. And I don't have to tinker with it or have some dumb accident happen where, you know, God forbid I dry fire or something else happens. I'll be ready. And if worst case scenario, something like that does happen, one could swap over for the other and I'd be totally okay with that and manage to deal with that. So, I mean, for me, it's just a personal preference and,
that makes sense.
Had some things laying around that I couldn't have enough of that equipment to do so basically.
Yeah. I feel you, man. I don't shoot enough straight up. I think I told you before we started recording, you know, I'm coming off of a shoulder injury and I am just now starting to get back into a weightlifting and stretching with like these rubber bands routines for both shoulders to try to get them healed and healthy so that my goal is this month or the 1st of July, pick up the bow again and start shooting. Now there's a couple things. One, I will be getting another injection into my shoulder that is going to help with inflammation and pain. The other thing is, if I do start shooting and I am starting to feel pain, then I'm going to have to drop down below 70 mm-hmm. this mm-hmm. year. And I think that's going to be the thing that that's going to get me through this season. Then after this season, I'm going to go in and get reevaluated on the shoulder. And I'm going to see if I can get maybe there's a surgery I can get to stitch up my labrum. There are some other options of different kinds of injections that are out there, but I'm taking it slow. I don't want to hurt it because, God forbid, I do not want to use a crossbow. Yeah. you know, nothing against other people. That's just, it's not my bag of whatever. Yeah. You know, it's just not my bag of tea. So a cup of tea. So I don't know.
Well, but the other thing about that too, Dan, is like you are able to kill a whitetail with a 50-pound bow. You know what I mean? Like,
yes.
I choose to shoot 70, but man, I mean, I keep harping on my father. My father's the same way. Like he messaged me last night. We're chatting, and he goes, "I need to start shooting my bow." And I'm like, "Yeah, you do. Like, get on it, man. Like let's go, Dad." Because he's the same way. He'll wait. He'll wait too late, and then he's trying to strengthen up his shoulder and all that type of stuff. And I even think his bow at the time, I think, is a max 65-pound prime. I think his is the Black 3. So it's a couple years old, and I keep telling him, like, we backed it down to 60, and I said, just back it out as far as it could go to, you know, even maybe try to get to 58 pounds now, shoot, get your strength back and all that type of stuff. And then, you know, when the season rolls around, if you're at 60, no big deal. You'll be fine. You'll be able to kill a deer. And I mean, that's the other thing. You want to be able to enjoy it. Nathan Sellers, Average Jack Archery, he's 2 minutes down the road. And we talked about it on the podcast back in January, Dan, where he had someone very similar, shoulder issue, came in. I think he had it at like 45, like it was as low as you could get, kind of like one of those, I could be mistaken, but I think he had like a ready to hunt bear style bow where it's a wide, you know, from 40 to 70 pound type of, you know, limb situation there, cam situation with it. But, again, by the time the season rolled around and he got him tuned up, he was like, "Okay, do you want me to up this weight up to like your normal 60 or 65? And he's like, "No, let's keep it at 50, 55 pounds. That's where I've been practicing a lot and it's shooting money." Guess what he did this past year? He told Nate, "I dropped a deer within 20 yards, perfect shot." And he felt great. He's like, "I'll never go up in weight again." So again, you have that. Then you have guys that are 80 pounds. I want to get the max efficiency. For me, at 27.5-inch draw, I'm still capable and strong enough and comfortable enough on a cold day to pull back 70 and be steady. That's what I'm going to do.
Yeah.
That's what I'm going to do. 100%.
Yeah. I like to smoke things. Mm-hmm. I don't know, man. I feel like if I drop down to 60, 65 to save my shoulder, then I'm going to have to, you know, obviously you got to readjust some things on the bow, the sight, the rest, the arrow setup, whatever it is. But right now my setup is heavy arrow. It's over 500 grains, total arrow weight, 30-inch draw, 70-pound draw. Mm-hmm. Dude, I'm shooting rockets at these deer. And I mean, not only is the arrow quick and fast, but it's the momentum going into it is able, like I feel confident and comfortable taking quartering shots, taking frontal shots at close ranges, because I know my arrow is going to destroy whatever it hits. Now, you drop me back off into the 60-pound, 50-pound territory. Now, I'm going to have to educate myself on how to be more patient so that I can get the broadside shot.
Yeah.
Right? I might have to drop off in arrow weight and go down into, you know, the 450-ish or whatever, you know, just drop off somewhere. And so I don't want to have to do that. I want to destroy whatever I hit. And right now my setup allows me to do that.
Yeah, I like that. Yeah, this year, like I said, kind of going for me, simpler situation is just I'm running the same bow that I shot last year. It's the Elite Era, which is their carbon bow. That was my my first carbon bow that I have ever shot. Love the thing. Like, Elite's grip and everything along those lines have just been really nice for me. They just, I feel at home shooting those. I feel really great on the back wall. And that's kind of, so the I'm also shooting an Elite for my target setup, basically. But yeah, I mean, like, this year, I'm looking at it right now, I'm keeping the same HHA sight. It's the Rise, so it's going to be a vertical two-pin slider. I'm going to have a Vapor Trail drop-away rest, a Stokerized 6-inch stabilizer. So I'm going just short, no back bar on it. And for my arrows this year, I haven't made them up yet, but I'm going to try to shoot the Victory Rip TKOs. And
okay. I've heard good things about those arrows.
Yep, I've heard really good things. And here's my, if I could reach around this shed here, but it's a VF TKO. I think it's a couple years older. It's or fatter. It's like a 246, not a 204. And this was my kind of my 3D setup that I ran this year. And shot great, testing all different. I'm a gear guy, man, so that I love testing different setups. And between these, the Ultra Arrows shot really good out of my 3D setup. But after shooting these Victory VF TKOs, I was like, you know what, they have a 204. I would like to, that's what I like for hunting. I haven't really mangled test around with the really small micro 4mm yet, but I'm gonna try those Rip TKOs this year, the 204. It's going to be right around where I would like my arrow to be, kind of like what you just said too. It's going to be around like 475. Again, at 27.5-inch draw, the arrow is not that type of a speed bow. I do have the smooth mods on it, so I'm not getting crazy speed, but it's heavy enough where it's going to be fast enough. And last year, man, I was 5 for 5 in 2.5 weeks here in PA and watched the deer drop within 50 yards on all 5 deer. So and that was the arrow weight that I was in, that 460, 470 arrow total weight wise.
Where's your playlist taking you? Down the highway? To the mountains? Or just into daydream mode while you're stuck in traffic? With over 4,000 hotels worldwide, Best Western is there to help you make the most of your getaway. Wherever that is. Because the only thing better than a great playlist is a great trip. Life's the trip. Make the most of it at Best Western. Book direct and save at bestwestern.com.
This episode is brought to you by Peloton. Break through the busiest time of year with the brand new Peloton Cross Training Tread Plus. Powered by Peloton IQ. With real-time guidance and endless ways to move, you can personalize your workouts and train with confidence, helping you reach your goals in less time. Let yourself run, lift, sculpt, push, and go. Explore the new Peloton Cross Training Tread Plus at onepeloton.com.
Yeah, absolutely. That was going to be my next question, is what's your total arrow weight? Just got it. Now, when you go to set up a new bow, are you doing any type of paper tuning or cam timing?
Yeah, doing all of it. Yep, doing all of it. So cam timing is going to be probably as soon as I set on the new set of strings. That will be one of the first things that I do, is just making sure the cams are in sync. After I do that, and get obviously the draw length, down, do the cam sync, then I'm just putting in the peep and getting everything going through that. And then after that, I will shoot through paper. The really cool thing about the Elite bows, though, Danner, is you shoot Bowtech too, so you have, like, you know, how they have that micro tunable up on the limb. Elite has something very similar with the set technology, where it's just a couple of unscrew one bolt and turn it one way, and it's going to shift your cam one way or the other, basically very fine-tuned adjustment, instead of going in and micro adjusting your rest and everything along those lines. Like, if you push your rest maybe as far as it could go one way or the other, just that little bit, and you're still getting that slight tear, if you're a perfectionist, you could then go in with these Elite bows, and same thing with the Bowtechs, and do those little fine tune adjustments that the technology of those two brands have on their bows. And it makes it a heck of a lot easier. So for me, it was 3 shots through paper and I was good to go.
Awesome.
Once I do that, it's okay. Let's throw on a broadhead. And I always try to keep, like this year, for example, I'm for sure going to go back and shoot the Grim Reaper mini mag. It's a four blade. I had great success with those last year. I'm also a big fan of the Sever broadheads, and those ones for you could practice with. You just put in that screw, and man, those Severs, I have nothing really bad to say about them, other than just they cost a lot of money, just like everything else anymore. But
yeah,
what's you buy those singular, whereas the mini mags from Grim Reaper, they come in a four pack. So I was looking through a couple that I was able to save from, like there was no issues with them, no bent ferrule or anything blades, and I cleaned them up. I could probably honestly replace the blades and they would be good to go, but I'm actually going to save those two for practice arrows, just that way, just to make sure they're good enough, clean enough, and I have another target that I could definitely use them to blow through and still be good to go. So that will be how I'll make sure everything as far as this new arrow goes, making sure that way I don't have to waste one of the new arrows. And again, they're $50 for a four pack, which it's kind of nice because I know for Grim Reaper, I never had a ton of, last year was the first year I've ever tried them, Dan. And I know for certain series, you either get like four broadheads or three plus a practice one. But what's nice is I think the mini mag is in their pro series. So you get four of their broadheads for $50, which is really nice.
That's pretty nice, man. Man, I tell you what, I looked at prices for broadheads the other day and they just are just like everything else in this world, creeping up. I mean, you used to be able to get three for like $15 and now it's 50, three for $50, depending. And you just go higher, on some of these other heads. Let's see here. I am a huge fan of Wasp. Everybody knows that, but dude, those Grim Reapers back in the day, I think, you know, I went away from Wasp for just a little bit. When I bought my first bow setup, I bought Wasp and I hunted with Wasp for like three seasons. And then when I was a part of White Knuckle Productions back in the day, we had sponsors. So when you get your sponsors, you're supposed to, you know, just like I am now with Wasp, you know, but I was using Wasp for like 10 years before I started working working with them here. But we went NAP broadheads, and there was a year where we had the Grim Reapers. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you this, dude. I helped a guy drag a deer out of the woods once when he brought completely broadsided this doe with a Grim Reaper. And oh my God, it looked, I mean, I followed some good blood trails in the day, but it was like it was gruesome.
Yeah.
It wasn't just following a blood trail. There was like parts of its lung along the way and tissue and things like that. It absolutely destroyed that deer. And, and I stepped away from them going back, 'cause I just felt like the Wasp heads flew a little better back then, but from a destructive standpoint, man, like the Wasp jackhammers, the Grim Reaper, right? The original Grim Reaper. Those were just called the Grim Reapers. I don't think there was a side name for them. And then I'm trying to think of another broadhead. Like I've never shot Rage. No, so I don't know don't know anything about Rage other than how people either love them or they absolutely, it has cost them a deer. You know what I mean? Like these damn Rages, man, they cost me my biggest buck ever, or I only shoot Rage. But, I'm trying to think of what one of the other broadheads, I did see a pretty sick blood trail. A guy showed me at the Iowa Deer Classic one year. He shot with those. It looks like it cuts holes. It's like a cookie cutter.
Yeah.
It's got the what's it called? The toxic.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
That thing, it has the curved blades and it's, there's three of them and that thing did a lot of damage as well. But of course it was close.
Yeah.
You know, it was at close quarters. So I don't know, man. I like to stick with my Wasp. But I will say this to elaborate on what you said. I never really paper tuned my bow before this, the last two seasons. I never really did anything with cam timing the last two seasons. And I don't want to say that when I did start doing that, I felt like it affected my accuracy. Mm-hmm. What I will say is that I was getting more penetration with my arrow. Mm-hmm. Because the arrow starts and then you pair it with, you know, a well-tuned arrow. It straightens out faster. The arrow is leaving the bow straighter. Right. And I've been able to, I don't want to say my accuracy necessarily improved per se, and my groupings didn't necessarily improve, but I'm stroking them downrange. You can see them fly level. And when they hit the target, especially at that 50, 60 yard, you're hearing it smack the target.
Yeah.
As opposed to the arrow sitting in at an angle at the target. And that means you're fishtailing all the way down. Mm-hmm. And I love seeing that. Like Ted Nugent says, the mythical flight of the arrow. I love seeing that go wobbly and then straighten out and then hit. Man, I love seeing that.
Dude, there's nothing like it. I just always say there's when you have your pin exactly where you're aiming and you release that arrow and you hold that bow and it smacks exactly where that pin was, man, that feeling is just, there's nothing like it. It's so awesome. No. That's why I love archery.
No. Which makes me, now that bows are getting faster and faster and faster, it makes me want to go to a trad bow and really see the arc in, you know, the arch in archery.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, the one small thing that I will touch upon really quick, just because we've talked about it before on a podcast about releases and everything like that, Dan, is that this year, this summer, I've switched to a... still using a handheld release, but I've added that fourth finger adjustment here. So where I put my pinky on, for me personally, I really enjoy that. And I've been able to contour the thumb barrel on this. So it's tilted a little bit. So as it's in my hand, it fits really nice. And I'm really enjoying that aspect of things instead of having that pinky be in like no man's land for me. I've always kind of, my anchor point has always been the same, but sometimes I'm like, I don't know what to do with my pinky. Like, where does it go? And like now it's like, it has a home, let it stay there and like use that to help. Cause I like training with a hinge where I'm rotating, and whether it's right or wrong for some people, I do like that aspect of things. And with that pinky here, I could, instead of just smashing that thumb, I could kind of squeeze both my pinky and my thumb together. And that's when that break is happening.
Yeah. Unfortunately, I can't do that. Otherwise, I would.
Yeah.
But I do use a three-finger thumb release as well, and my pinky is on it.
Yeah.
Right? I do have a little bit of a weird gap there, but I'm able to get – do I have it here? No. I'm able to get my – I like the adjustments on the thumb rest. And so I've adjusted it to, it's out a little bit further, but it still folds right into my thumb right here where I need it to be. So it all works out.
It's, and this is that new Stan Onyx clicker, that, I sent a video, had Andy May on the podcast and sent a video to him and kind of like my, where I was at with the shot. I videoed it and sent it to him and he sent me some feedback, and, basically what I'm trying to do right now is just slow this procedure down. And it's crazy how, like, if for the way my mind works of how I can just like focus on just slowly getting to that click and not then like hurrying up and then firing it after that. Like he mentioned to me to try to be able to, if need be after that click, if I need to let down, to be able to let down and not just hear that click and then smash. Do you know what I mean? In a hunting situation, I know I could do that, and be, you know, use a control smash. And that's the one aspect of things that I've been learning doing the whole competition thing recently. Like, a lot of people are very good command shooters. Some people would say they got target panic. I would say they're just very good at knowing when they need to go ahead and smash that trigger. But at the same time, that's the aspect that I'm training on right now, is just being able to slowly move that trigger to that click and then letting it fire.
My day kicks off with a refreshing Celsius energy drink, then straight to the gym. Pre-K pickup, back home to meal prep. Time for my fire station shift. One more Celsius, gotta keep the lights on. When the 3-alarm hits, I'm ready. Celsius. Live. Fit. Go. Grab a cold, refreshing Celsius at your local retailer or locate now at Celsius.com.
Sierra has all the best active and outdoor brands for the super athletic stuff, like running gear for cruising up the trail. Woo! And the super athlete-ish stuff, like fishing gear for chilling by the creek. Nice cast. Fitness apparel to push for higher reps. You got this. And golf balls priced so you can afford to lose one. Or a few. Head to Sierra or Sierra.com for the brands you want at the prices that let you do it all. From athletic to athlete-ish, Sierra's got it.
Yep, I completely understand. I had to shake my finger at my son who just came into the office while I was recording. So I wasn't shaking my middle finger at you.
Yeah.
I feel like this has been a good BS session. Is there any other gear related things that you've been working on recently?
Honestly, I feel really good with where I'm at gear wise. The only thing that I might kind of mess around with is going to end up being the carbon platform from Tethered. The carbon platform from Tethered is going to be probably the newest addition that I'll have. I want to mess around with two possibly. I use their Ultralock saddle, so it has the two pouches already sewn in. They did come out with January, February timeframe, the SD saddle, like the form of it where it's just stripped down, because I think I could get away with early season having just one of those new big pouches on the side. And here's the other thing, like I don't need it, and I could get away with both pockets on each side early season, because then I'm just taking the Predator platform backpack in and not even my fast pack that's behind me.
Yeah.
I could definitely do that. So there's little things like that I could maybe tinker around with as far as that goes. But in all honesty, Dan, it feels good knowing that I'm not like, ooh, I need to try some new sticks or like, I feel really comfortable with exactly all the pieces of gear that I have, like more so than any other year prior. And I feel pretty dialed in. Last year, the thing was I was rappelling down. I'm going to continue to do that. I found that, again, because of being short, needing an aider, getting down the tree in the dark is just so much easier to do that compared to trying to come down on an aider. Climbing up, man, I could do that in my sleep. I feel comfortable, strong enough to do it. But the rappel down part is always the little tricky part of knowing if your foot's in or not. And the rappelling it was really nice. Now, the only thing I will say, I did have a brain fart or two where I forgot to put in the little mini retriever rope that will pull down my my main rope that I rappel down. Mm-hmm. So I've had to climb up like twice during the year of like, I get down there, I'm ready to come down. I'm like, oh crap, I can't get this rope down. So I had to climb back up and hook that in. And other than that, though, knowing that now I've this year, hopefully I don't make that same mistake. But I'll tell you what, it really helped coming down. If you use any form of aider, I would highly suggest looking at just rappelling down. Like, I still use 3 sticks, 4 sticks when it gets in the late season to get up for higher cover. But man, if you are using that, I can't stress enough to maybe think about trying to rappel down just for safety reasons.
Right. I'm going to tell you this right now. I am looking forward to hunting Kansas this year. I drew a Kansas tag, and I'm really looking forward to only bringing 4 sticks and my saddle setup, because Kansas, it could possibly get cold.
Yep.
But the rut in November in Iowa I'm always like, even in the mornings, it's really cold and I'm taking like big sets of overalls. And I'm excited to hunt the rut in a state that doesn't typically get near as cold. And I'm not going to be able, like, I'll still take warm clothing, but I'm not going to have to take my big insulated overalls and my big insulated jacket and really go in like a ninja. I mean, yeah. Minimalistic saddle, platform, sticks, pack, bow, done.
Done.
And go and be like, just go in predator mode, man.
I like that. Yeah. Simple, man. Just keep it simple. Right. Yeah,
there you go. Keep it simple.
Keep it simple.
Yeah. Hey, great talking with you today. I really appreciate you taking time out of your day to do this. Speaking of keep it simple, the Antler Up podcast is going to be doing a new series here pretty soon.
Yep.
Why don't you tell us what it's about?
Yeah, dude. So we're going to be doing a couple episodes where I'm going to have on some of my favorite people that I out there in that outdoor space that I highly respect, that I learn from. It seems like no matter when these individuals speak, I always try to pick up just something from them. And the other thing about these people, what I've noticed a trend in their philosophy is they're just keeping things simple. So what I'm going to do is try to talk to them about, hey, we've always overcomplicate things. And I've found out for me personally, I struggle when I overcomplicate things, no matter what I'm doing, whether it's hunting or real life situation type stuff. So we're going to have a little mini series called Keep It Simple. And we're going to just talk about maybe someone setting up their bow, talk about Western hunting, talk about scouting, talk about filming, talk about whatever maybe that person's passionate about or what they want to talk about that day. But we're going to talk about just keeping things simple and having fun 100%. Out there and letting it rip.
100% agree. Simple is the best way. And I believe simple is a little bit different than minimalistic.
Yep.
Because you can still have what some might consider extra gear, but you can keep it as simple as possible and still get the job done. So I'm looking forward to listening to some of those episodes. I'm interested in being a guest on there. Yep. And I'm looking forward to being a guest. And so, Jeremy Dinsmore, I really appreciate you taking time out of your day to do this, man. Thank you very much.
Dude, anytime, Dan.
You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.
If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.
Hey, it's Bubba Wallace from 2311 Racing. You know what it feels like forever? Sitting on a plane waiting for takeoff. Good thing I've got Chumba Casino. With daily boost and social casino games on tap, this is the kind of fun that makes time fly. Why not turbocharge your downtime? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.